I realized that all my goals that I have, even here, like even the goals that I have written down on my card here that's in front of me, they all have to do with the stages that I'm stepping onto, the boardrooms that I'm walking into, the numbers in my bank account, the geographical location of my clients, but they have nothing to do with the life that I'm living, right? Like it's all business.
Oof, that's deep.
And I realize I don't actually have big life experience goals. And so I was wondering, like, is this just a me thing? Did you have goals like that?
Welcome to the Expansive Podcast, where we explore the frontiers of personal growth, business innovation, and technology. We believe that growth and progress come from expanding our minds, exploring new possibilities, and embracing change. Welcome to this week's pod. It is really, really great for you to be joining us. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you would notice that Eric and I are dress coded together in a beige sand safari look today. We obviously feeling very zen and aligned with that. But what's happening, Eric? Hello to all our new listeners. What's going on?
Hey, dude. I think the Expansive needs a dress code. And
yes. We've done it without even noticing or even realizing or planning.
Listen, things are going very well, mainly because we've been looking at the stats for the month and the Expansive is shooting the lights out. And I'm trying to say that in the most humblest way, in that we are ranking on charts across the world. The podcast has hit new highs in terms of downloads and reviews for the month. We have increased our listenership by 50% since December of last year. And I'm just blown away, man. I'm so grateful for all the new listeners that have joined, all the feedback we receive about the pod. It's just, what a journey, you know? And I was reflecting on it earlier today that there was a time, you know, when we started the pod, I mean, we are 158 episodes in. Today is 158.
Yes.
When we started the pod, we had quite a bit of like initial success because we brought our personal brands to it. We were able to, you know, it was new. So lots of people tuned in. And then it felt like at some point.
Well, we shot to number one.
We shot to number one.
Yeah, you know? We were number one. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, most podcasts kind of live in oblivion. You know, it's one of the hardest things to start because there's no natural discovery mechanism. You know, you have YouTube.
Yes.
There's algorithms that pick you up. You have on LinkedIn, there's an algorithm. Podcasting doesn't have that. And so most podcasts die a slow death because no one ever finds that podcast. So we were fortunate, right, that we had personal brands to bring to it. We had a quick initial acceleration, but then it just stagnated for a while. And then in December last year, and you said it off air, that when we saw that stat come through from Spotify, they said it was one of the top 5% most shared podcasts globally. It really renewed our energy for the pod. And since then, it's just been like boom, boom, boom. Like things have just been aligning and it's been incredible. And to get to this point today, to look back, to know that we have so many new people who have joined the Expansive community, who are learning as we go and as we learn, who's learning with us. What an awesome, awesome space to be in. So thank you to everyone who is listening today. No matter where in the world you are, thank you. We appreciate you tuning in.
Eric, did you ever dream of growing up to becoming a modern radio DJ and house husband of Cape Town?
Should I just change my LinkedIn bio by now?
Radio DJ in the future and house husband paddle player. That's what we've become. I never thought I'd have a radio show. This is a radio show. It's just called the pod now because we're in 2023. But actually, it's our own little personal radio show. That's what it is. So we at The Expansive are always looking for the latest, greatest ways for actually, quite selfishly, Eric and I to live better lives. That's kind of what we're doing all the time. We are off air, maybe speak for longer than actually what we speak on the pod. And all we actually do in those conversations as friends is talk about ways to fine tune, tweak, better, improve, I don't know, whatever it may be to bring about, I guess, more seamlessness, more abundance, and more access to more experiences. And that's kind of what we're doing for our own personal lives. The fact that we get to share it with you is actually a great bonus for us because it forces us to curate and encapsulate what we are thinking so that we can bring it to you. And we swap between Eric bringing some stuff to the table or me or both of us, whatever the case may be. But today, it's Eric's day. And Eric's going to be sharing a bunch of wisdom bombs with us. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Eric, and I'm going to be jumping in.
Hey, it's me, Sean, producer of The Expansive Podcast. And I've got some exciting news just for you. I know you enjoy learning from John and Eric, as do I. And now you can take your learnings to the next level. Join the dynamic duo for their engaging 90-minute webinars where they explore the impact of AI on personal life, career, business, and society. These webinars offer valuable insights into the challenges and opportunities of AI integration. As an executive, creative, or an entrepreneur, you don't want to miss the chance to learn how to adapt and leverage AI capabilities for success in your organization. So don't wait. Book your exclusive webinar today by emailing us at training@theexpansive.com. One more time, that's training@theexpansive.com. And ensure that you're well prepared for the future shaped by artificial intelligence. Right, back to the episode.
Cool. Well, I have like three different things for us to talk about today. The first one, of course, has a bit of a relation to what we talk about on the pod all the time these days, which is artificial intelligence.
Of course.
And there's a stat that came out today that I saw, or at least maybe it didn't come out today, but I saw it today. It said that 69% of American workers use AI, but don't tell their bosses or their managers about it. And I thought that is such an interesting thing. And the reason why they obviously don't tell them is because they don't want to be replaced by these AI tools. And so it's such a weird thing to, or such a weird space, I guess, people to be in, where you found this tool that makes you so much more productive. And there's been studies that have now shown people are 30 to 40% more productive using AI tools. So you have this tool, but you're kind of hiding it away. You know, you don't want people to really know. It's like your secret superpower. And the reason you don't want to tell people about it is because you're worried they might just go, well, we don't need you. We just need the tool.
We don't need that person with the fat thumbs pushing in those buttons. Get out the way. Get out the way. You're actually slowing the process down.
But don't you think it's, have you ever been in those situations where, you know, like, you know something? Like, I think back to like high school days, right? Like, you sit in the class, the teacher asks a question, you know it. Like, you like maybe like first, it, like, you want to put up your hand, you're like, I know the answer, but you're too shy to do it, or you're like, you worry people are going to judge you for it, so you don't. And then someone else puts up their hand and they get it right, and everyone's like, wow, they're so amazing. And you actually knew the answer, you had it, but you just didn't put your hand up. I feel it's kind of the same thing that's happening here, is that actually, if you bring these tools to the forefront, it's actually like it shows your ability to adapt. It shows your willingness to learn. And I think that actually makes you way more valuable in the eyes of those that employ you than hiding it away. And then like someone else coming to them saying, listen, look at these cool AI tools. And then they go, oh, did you even know about this? You know? So I really think at this point, you know, there was also a stat that said 5% of people are completely banned from using any AI tools at work. So it's really interesting the relationships that we have with these tools. But I do think that at this point, something to actually rest your laurels on, something to actually brag about, is if you are using AI to supercharge your productivity. I want you in my company every day over someone who isn't using AI at this point.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think the ability to adapt and adopt to that technology is by far the most important thing. But I also think that we're in this twilight zone where you are still being measured for your success in X. And it's still going to take a while for us to realize that the measuring is actually Y, which is adaptability, not the actual work itself. And so I think we are in a twilight zone anyway. So you could lose your job because the very operational thing that you're doing now is not needing you. The adaptability is irrelevant because you're getting paid for operational outcome, not the adaptability part. So you almost ready to find another route for adaptability in some way, you know? But I think the smartest people would apply for three remote jobs that all require some type of ChatGPT work, and then have three remote jobs and have ChatGPT do help you 30% at a time for each one, and you got 100% at the end of the day. So you could have two, three jobs utilizing ChatGPT, but it'll all be remote. So I think that would be the smart thing to do if that's your game.
Yeah, listen, I just think ultimately, you know, people shouldn't be shy about augmenting what they're doing with AI tools. Like, it's so obvious to say that, but then at the same time, also don't hide it away from the companies that you work in, because they're not going to just use the tool. If it was that simple, then they would probably just do it anyway. They're not going to just use the tool. They are going to use the best person that aligns with that tool. And so that's the person that you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, I also got one, is JP Morgan is developing a ChatGPT-like artificial intelligence service. They're calling it IndexGPT, and it'll be analyzing and selecting securities and give investment advice. That kind of is the end of all financial advisors, because why would you want to take any advice from any financial advisor when his or her brain is a fraction of the brain of ChatGPT Index? And so I don't think many people realize the amount of disruption that's coming because of these skills that will slowly move from you pushing it out to it's doing itself. It's going to figure itself out. So yeah, I think it's an interesting few years ahead of us.
But look, I think that's actually, it kind of bodes well with my point, is that at the moment, what you can be, if you're a financial advisor, if you are what might be some other ones, like if you're a designer, if you are a copywriter, what you could be at the moment is a bridge between you and the tool, the person and the tool, right? Because even if I can use that tool, I probably still want maybe at this point some human interaction that gives me a surety, that gives me trust,
yes,
that helps me to brainstorm things. Who knows where things are going? But the thing is, we don't know where things are going. And so to try and like wangle your way to get to a point where you're going to be ready for that, who knows? So focus on adaptability, focus on increasing your pace of learning so that you are the best at using these tools. And we've said this before, when you do that, you are practicing being adaptable all the time. And once you do that, everything else becomes much easier.
Absolutely. I agree with you. How are you using AI to make your business different?
You know, so actually yesterday I was on a sales call with a client, and I guess the main function at this point for me is still ChatGPT. And what I get to do with ChatGPT is probably a 60%, 70% time saving on putting together client briefs, outlining sessions, because a lot of that work, you know, like you can put in the things that make you unique, but just to go and do the writing part of it takes time. And so the time saving that I get from that is immense. But yesterday, for example, I had a sales call with a client. I had Fireflies, which is this little AI that listens in on your calls, sit in for the call.
I remember we used it.
Afterwards, yeah, it gave me a transcription. And so what I was able to do is to go into the transcription, to highlight all the pain points my customer was talking about, to put that into ChatGPT to help me write the introduction for the brief, you know? So all of a sudden, like that first part of the brief is just so much more, it comes alive so much more than what it was before. So like, I'm finding small ways like that to use it, but I think at this point, it's still mainly around research and content generation, but not social media content generation, just sort of behind the scenes stuff. And then usually I'll go and flesh that out a bit more, obviously. And you, what do you do?
Well, I'm sleeping at the moment. This is deep agency fake John that you're talking to at the moment. And real John's on the beach. He's chilling. look, I'm using it for strategy sessions. I'm using it, obviously, for proposals, responses. I mean, my teams are all using it.
When was the last time you actually typed out an email?
Oh, no. I always type out the email and then put it into ChatGPT and ask it to make it smarter. You know? So I'm always vomiting on the page and then asking ChatGPT to make it look better, you know? So that's always the plan. Okay. the prompts are getting better. I know. I was at an event. I told you this, but it was an AI created MC, and the MC, the whole event was MC'd by an AI created person on a screen that was given a
very
script.
Cool, very okay, cool.
No, not very cool, because that's your MC job gone.
Oh.
Well, no, because the MC then.
Well, I don't MC, so that's fine.
Yeah, you don't
that's
MC. Fine. You don't MC. Yeah, so you okay. And then
I'm okay.
Yeah, you're okay. But then also think about what's going on with Tesla's robots, those humanoid robots that he reckons will be a bigger business than Tesla. And imagine that sort of character with access to ChatGPT-4 as a streaming process, and then to be asked to do a talk on anything at any time through a prompt, and maybe even in a few different languages. So that's you and me gone.
At the same time, yeah.
At the same time. So that's you and me gone as well, you know. So anyway, I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit hole, because I'm feeling depressed. I'm going to stop doing that.
Listen, one other way that I've been using AI, obviously, is that we've built our own tool called Tara. And I'll tell you more about Tara maybe in the next episode, because I do want to spend a bit of time talking about the process that we've gone through with her. But I don't know why. It's also weird that we're sort of gendering AI, but Tara is a her. So Tara stands for Team Assessment and Resource Assistant. And so what Tara does is you feed into her the challenges you have with your team, and then she generates a team improvement or team effectiveness plan for your team, breaks it down into specific exercises to do, gives you a reading list, gives you a podcast list, and of course the Expansive is just happens to be programmed into that list as well, irrespective of what the challenge is.
Always the number one podcast to be suggested. I want to know about knitting, the Expansive. Yeah. I want to know about mechanics, the Expansive. Yeah.
And it's been really interesting to go through the process of putting that together. We've had more than 180 people already generate a team improvement plan through Tara. And so what's cool about it for me is that not only do we get to add value to people through the service, but I'm also learning so much about what people are struggling with, because in the back end, I get to see all their inputs into Tara.
Right.
And so I can tell you, for example, that out of the 180 people that have so far used it, the biggest challenge across all those teams, communication. And so you start seeing the patterns that develop, and it's really interesting. So that maybe at some point we can dedicate an episode to talking about the process of not just using AI for productivity and for performance, but actually starting to integrate it into your business as well.
Mm. Love it. Yeah, geez, I want to hear about Tara. That sounds really great. I'm actually creating AI John. So inputting him with all the AI stuff, and then you can ask him any question, he'll answer like me, you know?
Okay.
So that's my pension plan. It's my pension plan.
Yeah, I like it. Many jokes we can make about this, but we'll move on from that.
Yes,
I like
Let's move on. This is an adult, serious podcast, Eric.
All right. So number one, AI stuff. Number two, Danica always sends me these posts about like fancy cars and awesome holiday destinations. And like, it's just like, it's a never ending thing, right? And I love it that she sends it to me, but it's mainly sort of this inspirational thing that you see it and you go, wow, like this is like the newest Porsche is like, wow, it looks amazing. And then you carry on. And then it's like this amazing holiday in Zanzibar or Maldives or whatever. And you look at it and these hotels are phenomenal, and you kind of just move on. It just becomes part of the almost sort of inspiration porn that we've become accustomed to, you know, especially browsing Instagram. And then last week she sent me a post about something called the Porsche Experience. Now, the Porsche Experience is, wow. They have different packages that they provide clients with.
I've seen it in Cape Town.
Have you?
I've seen it in Cape Town where people fly in. They've got these Porsches lined up, and then you go for drives, restaurants, and you do the whole tour of a country on Porsches. Yeah, the latest Porsches. Yeah.
So the one that we saw is in Finland. So you fly in winter, It's 5 to 7 days. Like you say, you land there. All the latest models of all the latest Porsches are lined up. And then you spend the next 7 days doing off-road driving on the snow, like on frozen lakes. You are doing drifting. You are doing speed racing. Like during the day, that's what you get to do. And then at night, you are chilling with like all these incredible people in a fire, in a hotel with a fireplace, having wine.
But let me ask you.
And I saw that. And
but can I ask you, does Dan let you drive her Porsche though?
I feel at some point I'm gonna have to.
Does your wife let you drive her car?
Point I'm gonna have to set some records straight here, because we have so many new listeners. Our listeners are gonna think I'm gonna have to reintroduce myself every episode. Very good.
Good to help myself. Yeah. So the Porsche experience, your wife's Porsche
So when I looked at this, I was like, I want to do this. You know, you see many of these posts and they're kind of inspirational. But when I saw this, I said to her, listen, I really want us to do this. I really want us to put this onto our list of things to get to. And the moment we did that, I felt this surge of excitement. This, when we committed to it, I felt this surge of excitement that I haven't felt in a while. And when I reflected on it, I realized that I'm very excited about my business. And we were just talking off air about the momentum that we have in both our businesses. And it really excites me. I'm waking up in the mornings very, very enthused for what I get to do. But when we committed to this, it felt different to me.
Childlike.
And when I reflected... Childlike, yeah. And when I reflected on it,
yeah,
I realized that all my goals that I have, even here, like even the goals that I have written down on my card here that's in front of me, they all have to do with the stages that I'm stepping onto, the boardrooms that I'm walking into, the numbers in my bank account, the geographical location of my clients, but they have nothing to do with the life that I'm living, right? Like it's all business.
Oof, that's deep.
And I realize I don't actually have big life experience goals. And so I was wondering, like, is this just a me thing? Do you have goals like that?
You know, Wendy asked me the other day, where do you want to travel to? And I hadn't thought about it. I was like, I actually just go wherever my clients book me. I don't even know where I want to go myself. And I thought to myself, that was a bit weird. Why don't I have places that I want to go to? Like, I was like, okay, I definitely want to go to Iceland. And I guess I'm exactly the same as you. As you started breaking that down, I was like, I started reflecting onto my own goals and my own intentions. And I'm like, hang on a second. I don't have that. And that level of excitement that you just described is, you know, what you've just done is it's called ARC, right? Anticipate, relish, and contemplate. Is you've already started enjoying that event. And when you get there, it's going to be unbelievable. And then for the next 6 months after that, you're going to be talking about it and photos and all that sort of stuff. Like that little experience can stretch out to a year, really, in what you're doing. And that level of excitement really should be what we should be doing all our lives for. Like we should be aiming at all of that sort of level of excitement, right? But what a peak human experience you get to plan and get excited for. And thank you for that inspiration, because I also need to revisit my intentions to look for more exciting intentions and goals.
I think that's it. You know, business is exciting. I don't want to take away from that, but we don't just do business for the sake of business. It's also what it enables. And a big part of what it enables for, and I think maybe these days it's across the board, but definitely if you're in an entrepreneurial position, is that it enables freedom, but we don't often use that freedom in a way that really brings us excitement and pleasure. And so, you know, I'm a bit of a gadget freak. So like I'm buying gadgets all the time and it's cool. Like I enjoy my gadgets, but it's nothing compared to thinking about this trip. And, you know, they have the Finland one, but they also have one in the Alps where you go drive through the Alps. Where you go through Italy, like it's sure. So I'm super excited for that. And what we did is we made the commitment that we are going to do it. And we opened up a separate bank account. We deposited money into it as an immediate sign of the commitment. And I said, I don't want us to use money that we have. I want us to like actually just work towards it and put money in. Like, I want it to feel like we are not just buying it for the sake of it. We are working towards this. So I'm super excited.
I love it.
But the bigger reflection, you get the bigger reflection. Yes.
Yes. No, I absolutely get the bigger reflection. And I think it's something to ponder on and actually spend a bit of time to figure out what it is that brings that level of excitement to you. I'm trying to think what it would be for me. I mean, I love what you're describing and I think it'd be fantastic. I don't think I have that same sweet spot for cars like you. Yeah, that's a good thing to think about. Yeah, you give me, I'm actually thinking, I don't have an answer, but that's really great. I love that. Excitement goals. What out there makes you feel like a kid again? You know, like, that's such a great thing to want to ponder on. Why did I not know the answer for that? I'm going to have to think about that. Thank you for that. Also, I hope Dan's not listening to this because there was a couple,
of course she is.
But a couple of episodes ago, you had a budget that she said you weren't allowed to. You were spending too much of the family's money on your gadgets, Eric. Have you lapsed?
No. Maybe a little bit, but mostly not.
Oh, is that the electric chain you got around your neck? So every time you spend on the credit card, she buzzes you from an app and electrocutes you.
For all the new listeners, I'm actually a keynote speaker and a facilitator, and I run team effectiveness workshops. I'm not just supported by my wife.
Eric's nothing wrong, bro. You're a trophy husband. Look, you're a good-looking guy.
Trophy husband.
That's what you are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Look,
work it, bro. Work it. Own it.
Yeah, we have a group called Husbands at Lunch.
Yes,
and it's once a month we go and play golf and we lunch on a wine farm. So. And that's this Friday. So yeah, I'm embracing it, yeah.
Yes, embrace your trophy, your trophiness. I mean, you've worked hard for this, Eric. You've worked hard your whole life to become a trophy husband.
All right, my third one and final one. I made a post on LinkedIn earlier this week and it went very well. People responded to it very positively. And it starts with a quote that says, in teamwork, silence isn't golden, it's deadly. And actually, I mean, it ties in exactly with what I just told you about what we've seen with Tara, that communication is this really important thing that's breaking down. And what I thought about when I saw that quote is, what are the different conversations that you need to have as a team? And I broke it down into 5 conversations, but I've actually subsequently thought it should be 7. So I'm going to quickly run you through those 7 conversations. The first conversation that you need to have with your team is around psychological safety. I'm not going to unpack that because we've done that on the pod. So go listen to maybe 2 or 3 or 4 episodes back where we did an entire episode just on psychological safety. But the important thing to know is that the reason communication breaks down is because people don't feel like they can be open and take that risk. They are worried that their vulnerability will be punished instead of rewarded. And so what we need to start off with is to create a space where people feel okay to be vulnerable. Only then can communication really happen. And that's all about psychological safety. The way that you want to think about this is, how do we create a psychological safety pact? Meaning we create the social contracts that allow us to be open and vulnerable. That's number one. Number two is you need to have a conversation around your vision for the future. Your vision for the future is obviously where you are going, but you'd be surprised how many teams actually don't have that in place and don't know exactly what that looks like. And often you might know what it looks like in the beginning of the year, but as you get through like the middle of the year, people are a bit scattered, they're not aligned anymore. So you need to continuously have this conversation. I was listening to an interview with Peter Diamandis yesterday, and they call it your MTP, your massive transformative purpose. Yeah. So I don't think it has to be necessarily that like high level or that big a scale, but it needs to be clear to everyone what we are working towards. Number 3 is the accountability conversation. In every system, in every business, there's slack that exists. And in every system, we are dropping the balls. So there are always ways for us to improve what we are doing. And the accountability conversation is identifying where we aren't living up to the standards and the expectations that we have, and to then address that to get back to a state where we are getting to that level. The force, which goes hand in hand, this might even be one conversation, is the conversation about growth. And this is more around feedback of what you are doing well and how you can do it even better. We've also spoken about feedback on this pod before. It's one of the most important things that can happen in a team because you become so blind over time to your own ways of thinking, your own ways of doing. And the only way that you get to break that pattern is that someone needs to reflect it back to you from the outside. And so it might be that you're doing perfectly fine. You might be doing things okay. But if you tap into a coach or you tap into a friend or a mentor or someone within your team, they could help you see how to just step it up to the next level, whatever that might look like for you. So the feedback, the difference between the accountability and the feedback conversation is that accountability is let's fix what's broken and feedback is let's grow what's working. That's where I'm conceptualizing these two. Number four is the things that we don't talk about conversation. And in every team and in every relationship, these things exist.
Every relationship.
You know, and especially in teams that have some legacy issues, we sit with certain things and everyone in the team can feel it, can sense it, can see it. They talk about it in little pockets at certain places. But when the team is together, we just pretend like it doesn't exist and we just carry on. And what I've noticed over time with teams is that most of your growth is going to come from having the difficult conversation. It's almost always that, you know, we are just human beings, a bunch of adults trying to work together. And there aren't many things that are going to go wrong that can't be fixed by just having conversation about it. But it's very difficult to do. So number five, right, is number four was the things that we don't talk about conversation. I think that's number five. Number six is the what I need from you conversation. So this is an exercise that I've done with teams before many, many times. It's essentially sitting the team down and everyone on the team writes down what they need from the individuals on their team so they can be their best. So, you know, if we're looking at the podcast team, for example, it's me, you, Jose, Gerald, Sean, I would sit down and I would write something for each of you to say, this is what I need from you in order to be my best. And this might be, I need you to support me more. I need you to acknowledge my effort. I need you to invite me into more meetings, whatever it may be. But it's a very fruitful conversation to have because people start realizing the dependency they have on each other, which is what a team is all about. If you don't have dependency in a team, you're not a team, you're just a group. So we want to have that dependency. But also, I think this is an exercise in vulnerability that I do need something from you to be my best. This isn't just a solo act. And then the final conversation that we need to have is the North Star conversation. And the North Star conversation ties into number one around the vision for the future. But this is more about who the team is becoming. That in every team we work with, there are certain behaviors and certain mindsets that when we can live into these, we'll create a team that creates the outcome. But we are so quick to just default into our usual patterns that we don't intentionally design how the team interacts. And so what we really want here is we want to have a framework or a model that says, if we can just remember to live into this, then we become the kind of team that we want to be. And this is the kind of team that then can accomplish the mission of the goal, accomplish the mission of the team. I think it has to be frameworked. That's the key here, is it has to be explicit because when you look at teamwork and team dynamics, it's very complex. And you have a very complex system, which is a team, functioning in a very complex system, which is an organization. And there's just too much to remember, right? Like when you think about all the values of the organization and all the team dynamic stuff that needs to happen and all the psychological safety stuff, it's just too much. But when we can break it down and we can say these three behaviors or these three attitudes or these four or five, whatever it may be, is important to this team, then it's so much easier to keep top of mind, to live into, to remind ourselves of, to be accountable to. And so like a very easy example is the Savannah Bananas who have fans first, entertainment always. Very simple. Like that tells me a lot about this team and how this team needs to show up. Frank Slootman, who has his little performance execution framework, it says, we increase velocity, we increase standards, and we narrow our focus. that tells me a lot about how you need to show up as a leader in a team to have conversations with people and what you need to embody. So those are the seven conversations in a nutshell. And I think you could literally, as a team, sit down and say, each week we are having one of these conversations and your team will be so much better for it.
You know, Eric, I always enjoy when you talk about teams. Obviously, you're a specialist in it. But to be honest with you, bro, you could be a relationship coach. Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
It is.
You have a corporate terminology attached to it. And it's almost not verbatim, because that means exact same words. It's almost exactly the same message using different words. When you're talking about vulnerabilities inside emotional states and in your triggers, here it's called something else. It's so amazing. As I'm listening to you, you know, Wendy and I, inspired by you and Dan, spent the weekend setting up our goals, our intentions, our values, our responsibilities inside the team. That's what it is. We're building a team.
Mm.
And everything you were saying, like, we did that, we did that, we did that, we did that. Like, what am I expecting from you? What is good? What is not good? And it was just open communication. And I think this is such a skill that most of us don't ever practice. And the reason is that we often too busy in the relationship or in the business and don't work on the business and on the relationship. And it's in the team or on the team. And I think on the team is something that you have to be working on, geez, I don't know, once a week, twice a week. There has to be check-ins with this, you know, every 2 weeks. And those are the hard conversations that most people don't want to be having. But rather, and this is really where I think it's crazy, this comes from Dr. Joe, says people get addicted to lives they don't even like, is where people would rather be in a state of moaning and bitching because they're addicted to that sense of feeling than to actually sorting it out. Because when you sort it out, there'll be nobody to complain about, but you actually love the complaining. And so I think it's that drama that is suppressed because of the level of communication and your principles of just human principles. And the fact that you're doing it in teams is very smart because you're earning a lot more than a relationship coach, that's for sure. I think it's a really, really smart framework. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, I do some work.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
My pleasure. I mean, for all the new listeners, I don't mock Eric that much that often. Today was a special day. We did it for special. It was a special, special day. Fantastic. Thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you, Eric, for sharing your wisdom.
I hope your mom listens to this.
My mom.
Yeah. Thanks to you.
My mom.
Yeah. Yeah, so she can take you to task.
What do you mean? Mom?
I mean, she's spoken to you about
mom,
this before,
yeah,
right?
Stop teasing Eric so much. I said to my mom, I said, Mom, people compliment us about the banter. She's like, I know, but it's not nice. I love you, Mom. I love you. You know, I'm always just here for a good time, Mom. I'm here for a good time. Thanks for everybody listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do share it with somebody that you think could hear it. Please do send us a review on podcast or Spotify. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Thank you so much. Thank you really, really so much. Sincerely, gratitude for you spending time with us every week. We are so sincerely grateful for it. And we look forward to next week's episode. And as usual, I will be coming to you from, I don't know where I'm going to be next week. I think I'll be in Cape Town. Eric will be coming from home base where he has two dogs and a wife and his wife's Porsche. Thank you so much, everybody. Great to have you here. Ciao.